Pat, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Got me?
We can't hear you. One second.
Hello.
How'd you break your stuff, Jack?
You're the one that was in here.
Check, check. Can you hear me?
I'm going to call you back, Pat. Just one sec.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. And I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 25th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for early November. In this episode, we have a very special guest. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can search YouTube for Dead Zone the Podcast and see the video version of the episode. And now on to the show.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. My name is Community Jack.
I'm Community Rob.
And I'm Community Pat.
Perfect.
We have a special guest on this one, episode 25, and it's our good buddy Community Pat.
Yes. How are you guys doing?
Very good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Good, good. Excited to be on the show, finally.
Excellent. Yeah, we're excited. You're our first guest. This is an official first.
All right. So bigger and better things, then.
If it fails, it's all your fault.
Oh, stop it.
It's not Jack's computer, which is on the fritz at the best.
Debbie Downer. Okay, Betty Bodanker, let's take it away.
So we got some news, and we'll let Pat discuss some of this news. The first thing we're going to talk about is the new Merc box set called the Rogues Gallery. I like to personally think that we coined that name.
Did we?
No.
No.
But still, it's six metal mercenary miniatures. So it's a Sergeant Howlett, Kish, as we like to call the plague, Kish. How would you pronounce Kish's name, her new name?
I think Kish is where we're going with it.
It's just spelled weird and it's pronounced quick Kish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best way because it's hard to say. And Chief Edek Pamira. Father Bajarn, Forgefather Bajarn, Starnafall, and Sudavar Nemrath.
So they're just making a boxed set of the mercs that grace the current Dead Zone world as a one.
It's the second round of mercs, right? These are the wave two mercs, pretty much.
Yes, because I think the other ones were the Psychic Chovar.
With Hellfather and that kind of stuff, right?
The scientist, the plague scientist. I always forget her name.
Oh, Simmons?
Yes.
Yeah, Simmons.
Yeah, and Recon. And,
okay. Yeah. All in one convenient package.
Yeah, nice. It's great that they're doing this because especially for everybody who missed the Kickstarter, it's a great way to get all these guys.
Yeah, and they're great figures, so, you know, I think...
Oh, they're amazing looking, let alone for playing with them, but I love the way Sergeant Howlett looks. He's, I painted him up, we'll get to that later, but I painted him up, and I love the way he looks.
Yeah, and I painted the Quisiak, and she looked decent.
Look at that, she pronounces it correctly.
Well, I painted Kish.
Yeah, so that's great. And we'll have the link to the actual page on our website, that's deadzonegame.podbean.com. And we also got a new infestation teaser that shows an actual Veermean this time.
So you were right.
Oh, well, Ronnie announced it was going to be Veermean. But he's saying it's not until next year. Do you have any news about that, Pat?
I think it's going to be in the next mini Kickstarter. I think that might be kicking off either end of this month or sometime in December, and at the latest, the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and Ronnie was announcing that he wanted to get a third, maybe a second faction in there other than the Veermean. He was asking for people to request stuff. So go to the website, request what faction you'd like to see. We've gone on record saying we like the Crystallins.
I like the Crystallins.
Or even...
I always forget the name of the shark people.
Oh, the Saphir, I think?
Yeah, the Cyphers.
Yeah, they're cool. And
see those guys.
We were thinking about maybe even just a whole group, kind of like the Rebs, but more of like a League of Nations, UN kind of group.
Or
all the different alien races.
Or the unnamed.
Or the nameless.
The nameless, yeah.
Yeah, the squid guys. Yeah, they're awesome.
No, there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, he said not the Zor or the Corporation, because they're saving those, he said. So we'll have to see what that's up with that.
Okay.
And
I think some people even said they'd like to see robots, and I kind of lean towards the robots a little bit myself.
Yeah, Jack wants robots, just so he can maybe even get some zombie-like rules for the robots. Maybe sentry drones or something to fight.
Just yes. autonomous AI driven enemies to, you know, so you can play cooperative with it. I just thought it would lend well to that, but also
especially with the Extreme, with the build your own robot kind of from Extreme, the Dreadball Extreme, that'd be great to throw some weapons on those things. And
yeah.
Yes.
Also, all the Dead Zone, the Mars Attacks Kickstarter is all released now. And Jake Thornton had posted some beta rules for the abilities for the Dead Zone Martians and Marines. And we got to get some of those card decks sometimes, get some Dead Zone Marines. And do they have the, have you seen those cards yet, Pat?
I haven't seen the cards. I just seen the pictures of the decks. I haven't had a chance. I've been privy to actually see the beta of the cards yet.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see, because I was hoping that they'd have also the Corvus's Bounty Hunters and the Tiger Corps stats for those guys, because they're really
cool. Yeah, I've just seen the Dreadball Martian team.
Yeah, Dreadball Martians, yeah.
Oh, they're doing the Martians and the Dreadball team.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way they're doing. They're allowed to bring weapons on the field and stuff, like they, so they're going to be people.
They get a blaster, and it's like basically throwing a ball. Every one of them is fragile, though, because they have that glass helmet.
And that big exposed brain of theirs.
Yep.
Yes.
To get damaged.
Well, if I played Dreadball, that would be my team, and I would just be like...
Every time.
And everyone would be aggravated. Everyone.
I'm already aggravated.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah, so that's great. I love how they're mixing and matching all the different worlds to fit in with each other.
Well, I feel like, you know, why can't Mars be in the Core Prosperity Sphere?
Yeah, for sure. It's great, the way they're doing them. And also, there was, with the zombies from Halloween, Dave put a hobby tip up on YouTube, so showing how to kit bash the Mantic Kings of War zombies with the Dreadballs, Dead Zone zombies.
Yeah, definitely.
It's great to hopefully more people start kit bashing and doing that kind of stuff with the Dead Zone, because that's what we love to do.
Yeah, I do too.
Because it's fun just building new stuff. We were actually discussing, Jack had a stage 3, what was it, a stage 3 general, was it, or something?
No, just a stage 3.
He has a big sword anyways. And he had two different models, and they looked so completely different. You would never know they were the same model.
Once you do some tweaking and adding and doing whatever you want to do with it. Yeah. So
That's one of the best things about this hobby is making your own model up.
Yeah, for sure. And painting it up the way you want and making it yours, for sure, for the factions. And as for me, I can't wait until we get those Enforcer hard plastic troop sprues. Maybe some kits of that come on the sprue there. It'll look, they're all like separate pieces, so it'll be great to kit bash those guys into some just different and interesting positions.
Good. And Rob, if anyone wanted to follow along with us, take a look at the pictures that we're looking at in order, where would you be able to do that?
Well, once again, our website at deadzonegame.podbean.com, or also on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. And it's fledgling, we'd like to say.
We're just trying it out. We don't know what we're doing.
We might be starting to do some smaller, quick tips and things like that about kit bashing and stuff like that. Just to have some fun.
Yeah, we're trying. We're probing, seeing how it goes, and see how much response we get.
Yep, that's future.
In the future. Okay.
So we'll take a quick ad here. We'll see. We'll play the Mantic ad, and we'll be back to talk with Pat some more.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts Jack Fike and Rob Harper. Dead Zone is the tabletop game from Mantic Games. Please visit them at manticgames.com.
Okay, and we're back from that ad. That was amazing. Thank you, Mr. Wintergreen. Your talents do not go unnoticed.
They're not wasted.
They're not wasted at all. So what's next on the agenda, young Robert?
It's all about Pat now. Pat, how's it going there? Recently, there's been some changes. You want to talk about the changes that have been happening there on the community side?
Oh, yeah. Chris Nichols, who was the community manager in the UK and Europe, and I guess would be the rest of the world since my area is North America, has moved on to bigger and better things for him, I hope. And also Kai, who was our web presence, has also stepped down. So we now have a small void for the European nation.
So it's now North America is the dominant force, and we will use that leverage to force upon Mantic our desires. Is that what you're saying, Pat?
I think so, yes. We will now become the driving force.
Excellent.
So you're taking over everything? Is that what you're saying, Pat?
Yeah, no, that's too much. North America is a handful in itself, I'll tell you.
So, what's your day job anyways, Pat? What do you do regularly?
I work at a children's hospital. I'm a respiratory therapist.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So you have a full-time job, so you don't need to have any more on your community plate.
No, definitely not. I mean, I would help out if they need it until they find someone specific, which I've been doing slightly, but as a full-time, it's a big job, and you have to divide it up.
Oh, yeah, just covering all the people on social networks, covering what they want to talk about, doing the Twitter page, doing all the blasts, the news.
Yeah,
blasts.
And as we get bigger, it just gets slightly more busier every
year. Oh, sure.
I'll say every year.
You almost need a community manager for each game. Like, that's what it's going to end up being, right? Like,
well, or it would be the right now the way it sits is most of us, the three of us at the time, were all part-time.
Yeah. So you get a full-time somewhere?
Yeah, I think what will happen is it'll become a more of a full-time position.
Yeah, just to make sure everything's covered?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
And as Mantic's tendrils spread, eventually the whole planet will be playing these games. It's bound to happen. So it won't but be North America and,
Europe.
It's going to grow and grow, and you're going to need more and more people that can manage those things and the deep and dark recesses of the jungles to,
Definitely. And we have a great group of Pathfinders here in North America. Unfortunately, I only have one guy in Canada.
Oh, yeah?
He's out in BC, so I'm hoping to get someone on the east side of Canada.
Yeah, it's a...
But he's doing a great job out there in BC. We got a guy up in the North Pole.
Wow.
Alaska, no less.
Nice.
Is his name Chris Kringle, perhaps?
No, he goes by Mr. Allen.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's not Santa Claus. We always thought
No, that might be his game.
He's just hiding his identity.
You don't want to go to a game store and then be swamped by people. Hey, can I give you this new plague set?
He would just give away all the wares once a year.
Yeah, he just wants to play a game of Dead Zone.
So, how did you start with Mantic? Were you a Pathfinder originally, or?
Well, as I've said before in many interviews, I like to consider myself the original Pathfinder.
Oh, yeah, before the whole system started?
Yeah. I mean, I met Ronnie at an Adepticon one year. I think it was his second year or his first year out in the States, and he just had zombies and elves. And we got to be friends, I met him through another guy, through a guy that worked for Warlord, who I knew through Games Workshop and stuff. And then, me and Ronnie and we just kind of went out and we kind of hit it off. And then I stayed in touch with Ronnie. He was letting me know when he'd come back again to the States, and I'd come out to Adepticon again and give him a hand just that year. And that was the year Dwarf King's Hold came out. And then I told him, if you need someone to demo that game at the stand, let me take a copy home. I'll read it overnight, and then I'll come back and I'll demo it for the show for you. And we kind of did that, and we sold some Dwarf King's Hold. We talked about maybe starting a volunteer group, unlike the Pathfinders, or Pathfinders, the Outriders, the GWs, back in the glory days. And then it just kind of led from one thing to another, and then every time Ronnie came out to the States, I would come out and give him a hand, and then the rest is history, And then I just moved into the community manager position.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, it's great that it worked, and we think you do a great job.
Well, thank you.
It's nice that we've been able to, doing the podcast, been able to reach out to you. Rob says that you're always available. You're always willing to answer questions, and you've been really good for this podcast and for everyone who plays the game and wants information. So I'm just going to say thank you. Thank you for doing what you do.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think it's important to get Mantic spread into North America, and you're doing a great job for that. And it's slowly spreading, and people are realizing that, you don't have to pay thousands of dollars to play a game.
No, and...
You might end up paying thousands of dollars like some people in this room.
You know that for a fact.
Yeah, but you don't have to. You don't have to. That's the key thing.
Yeah.
But, and people are just now starting to realize, and, this has been Ronnie's philosophy and Mantic's philosophy ever since day one, is that, we never say you cannot use our figures to play that game or this game. If you want to buy our figures and use in that game, that's great. you know, we'd like you to play this game, but if you don't happen to like it, that's fine.
And the good thing is that you're making games that people want to play. Like, they're simple but still tactical and complex enough to, you know, you get some skill involved. But you don't have to read every single book to know what your opponent's doing. And, like, it's pretty streamlined, which is really nice. That's the best thing about every Mantic game we've looked at. So
yeah, two of the things I think Mantic is doing greatly is the amount of games they have, and the rules are basically just available for you. You don't have to buy all the rules like Kings of War or 1,000 army books. Mm-hmm. You can just get them, and you can get together with your friends and you play.
Yeah, that's right. And you play with what you have, and if you want to expand the rules or get more, like bringing in zombie rules for Dead Zone or something like that, you buy the book. And
yeah, that being said, though, ironically, you know, we got the hardcover Kings of War book. You know, we were doing really well with selling the figures, and people would come up to us at the shows and be like, well, where's your rule booklet? Well, it's online. You can download for free. Just print it up and play a game. No, but I want a book. We're like, but it's online.
But I want it in my hand.
I thought it was funny, and Ronnie thought it was funny that while we made all the rules and army lists available online, people still wanted a book. So when we threw that Kickstarter out, everyone got a hardcover rule book.
Yeah, it's great. Cool. And then with also Mantic Digital too, you're doing a great version there. Where I think slowly, as everybody ends up with having tablets, the idea of having a book, you won't need it anymore. And you guys are on the cusp with that Mantic Digital stuff with the really interactive books and
Definitely. I mean, and sometimes it's easier just to carry around a tablet or a nice smartphone and have your rule book right there in front of you instead of having to carry, you know, a library in a backpack that weighs about 100 pounds. I mean, I like books myself to have at home, but when I go out and play, I like to use my tablet to reference the rules and things like that.
Yeah, especially I have the big compendium for Dead Zone. That thing weighs a ton. I have it in my backpack, and it's like giving me a hernia. So it's good to have it online where you can just throw your tablet up and...
So you're saying that's not rickets?
Yes, that's right. It's not my lack of vitamin C.
Oh, okay. Well,
I get my vitamin C from rum. It's all good. But so it's great to have the option either way. And you guys have great books either way. You can get them digital or you can get them hard copy, which is nice.
Yes, definitely. And but people still want their books, though. I mean, I don't see us in the foreseeable future not printing books.
Yeah, for sure. They just have a collection, too, to have them on your shelf. It's nice to see them all.
Yes.
And what else we got here, Jack? Do you have anything else to ask?
Well, I do. It's funny you mention that. We wanted, since you've been in contact with us, and we wanted to, have a segment that was your information to us, and I had bantied about some names that it could possibly be called. Chat with Pat was the forerunner. There was some others, but
the other one was from the desk of the Mighty Wisdom of Pat.
Pat's memo pad.
That sounds too pretentious for me.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good that you have an opinion on it, because I was going to ask, what would you want your segment to be called on this podcast?
Putting him on the spot here.
Well, you threw it to me knowing this was going to happen, so don't ask all.
All right. Off the top of my head, Chopper's Corner is nice.
But your name's Community Pat.
Yeah. Well,
that's my email address. Everyone in the gaming community knows me as Chopper.
Oh, I see how it is. Yeah, Chopper, yep.
So that's not a childhood nickname you've had, you know, Community Pat, little Community Pat, 8 years old, yeah. Hey, Community Pat, come on over, you want some cookie?
That was something Ronnie gave me is when he told me I was getting an email.
Oh,
there you go, you got your email for that.
I think I came out all right on top because I was Community Pat, but Chris was Events Chris.
Yeah, Community Pat's much better.
It is, it rolls off the tongue. It's like there's no shame in a Community Pat as a nickname, as an alias.
Not at all.
No.
Chopper's much more manly.
It is.
Plus, I'll answer that first on an average.
So, Chopper's Corner?
Good to me.
Okay. Well, then it's official.
We'll officially call it Chopper's Corner from now on.
Chopper's Corner, Chopper's Shop.
The Chop Shop.
The Chop Shop. Oh, there you go. I like that.
Okay. Well, now, see, I was about to use the official seal of the Dead Zone podcast, but at the last second, pulled it out, and the Chop Shop.
Perfect.
Okay.
And you were saying you got some news that Ronnie's going to announce?
Oh, yeah. So let's see. Starting the beginning of the year, we're going to do another mini Kickstarter for Kings of War.
Oh, excellent.
With that, you're going to get second edition rules, and then an Abyssal army will come out of that also.
Yeah, to fill up the Abyssals. That's cool.
Yeah, so, and then that'll be a little mini Kickstarter, so that's going to be announced, or it should be announced by the time this thing airs.
Yeah, we'll definitely be after that.
Yes.
So look forward for that. It'll be nice to see the Abyssals. I know everyone has been asking to get that all, get those things look out. And if you've seen the Dwarf King's Quest,
yeah, the
Dungeons of the Abyssals, those things look great.
Yeah, for sure. We backed the Dungeon Sagas there.
We?
Okay, I backed Dungeon Sagas, especially for these Abyssals, because they look amazing. They're
I didn't even know you were backing that.
A. Well, I think at the time you were like, why would anybody back this? And I was like, I'm going to play it by myself then, Jack.
And B, I've never seen the Abyssals, so it'll be something I'll take a gander at.
Yeah, very cool.
I'm actually very excited for Dungeon Sagas. It's going to be a good game. If you were ever a big fan of HeroQuest, or Descent, this thing's going to really fit right in your niche.
Yeah, back in the day, Jack, was it Dungeon or the original D&D one? What was that one?
That was Dungeon. I got that.
Board game, yeah.
I remember they had that.
I know they re-released it maybe, 3 or 4 years ago?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I still have the original back one from back in the 80s.
Yeah, I'm sure Jack's parents have it in his basement somewhere.
I might have it still, but it would be back then as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. It was probably before I even knew you had that. But yeah, good stuff. You gotta love those. Well, Mantic's great where they're covering all the bases right now. Maybe we get to eventually get some like ship combat games or something like that to cover that, and spaceships.
Some fleet battles, yeah.
Yeah, fleet battles.
I feel like as we get bigger and as we move more into the Warpath universe, we get some vehicle rules out.
Yeah.
Get that covered. I think then the next logical step will be to move into capital ships.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be the way to go, because that'd be something I'd be definitely interested in. And, Warpath's another one we're excited to get eventually. And also, we hope that in all these Kickstarters, we keep doing that Dead Zone decks for everything and keep it up with that, because we love that, the cross-pollination of everything.
Yes.
And those crazy boxes, that's how you just revel in those crazy boxes.
Yeah, we get some crazy boxes at the open day this year.
In Europe?
Yeah, like, well, in England? They usually do it as like, at the store they offer them to.
I think so, yeah. I don't focus a lot too much on the open day over there.
Yeah.
Just because I don't get to go.
Yeah.
But that being said, at Adepticon, we're looking to do it like a mini open day.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
We're going to do a Mantic night there.
We'd love to be able to get to that sometime. Like, it's just, you guys keep coming up with Kickstarters. We can't do it.
Yeah, so the Mantic Night at Adepticon, if you're listening, come on out. It'll be Saturday night. We're going to have a room. We're going to set up some special events, a special Dead Zone, campaign game. Campaign is probably the wrong word. Mini adventure game that Joneet has written. We're going to have a Kings of War campaign that one of my Pathfinders, Mike Carter, is written. We'll have some demo games running around. We'll be Ronnie and I, and I'm not exactly sure, maybe Alessio. Don't quote me on that. He might not come.
Yeah. He's a busy guy.
Yeah, but we'll be there. We're going to have some pizzas. We're going to have some drinks. It'll be just a nice hangout, talk with Ronnie, learn some games, play some games with people, things like that. It's going to be a kind of a loose open day. We'll call it open night because it'll be at nighttime.
Nice. And knowing Ronnie, I'm sure he'll let stuff slip.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure once he gets a couple beers in him, he'll just, you know, the 5-year plan will come out of his mouth.
That's right. He can't help himself.
That's he used to have a good gig as a spy, but that loose tongue of his, you know. Yeah.
As soon as he started drinking his martinis.
Right. Ooh, martini man. Oh, I might just make it just for that.
Yeah, we got to one day we'll get to one of these things. Open Day or Adepticon or.
Yeah, I think Adepticon might be your best bet. I mean, you guys are by Buffalo, right?
Yeah, we're just across into Canada from Buffalo.
Yeah, because I think I've driven to Niagara from Chicago, and it took me about 8 hours.
Yeah, we're just 20 minutes away from Niagara Falls.
Yeah, so yeah, not too bad of a drive.
Yeah, we just got to force Jack to drive that.
Okay, well, maybe someday. Maybe someday, if we have an official invite, perhaps something arranged where we can come in to a band playing, breaking through a big paper thing. And
we are inviting all podcasters to come to Mantic Night and hang out.
Well, that'd be fun.
All the Mantic-based podcasters are welcome to come hang out.
Excellent.
Yeah, I know Adam Boxman from Strike Zone is going to end up being at Adepticon, so I'm sure we'll see him there.
Yes.
Good friend of the show.
Yes.
JP, who does the North American podcast with me, was on his show just recently. I don't know if that one's aired yet itself, but yeah, we've talked about getting together on Saturday night and everything. So
nice, yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
We love your new podcast too with JP there, the Mantic North America.
Yeah,
just get some North American love on the Mantic side.
Yeah, I pitched the idea to Ronnie about having just a North American quarterly podcast that just covers all, because you know there's a lot of other podcasts that cover Mantic stuff, but some of them are more oriented, like yours is more oriented towards Dead Zone.
Yeah.
Mantic Radio really covers
a lot of Kings of War,
but they also cover other.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
There are a couple of different channels, so I was looking for something specifically for Mantic that covers specifically all the games. I have some special guests talk about this. Like we had Heath, the concept artist. Yeah. It was very nice to learn about the different ways how things got designed for the games. How he made himself a rebel.
Yeah, he made him one of the rebels. Is actually the designer. It's great. But yeah, it was very interesting. It's a great show. And so much for quarterly, though. You guys seem to be coming out monthly now.
No, I think we did. October was our second one.
Yeah, first one was September, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Next one a little bit longer. Is that what you're saying?
Roughly quarterly, yeah. We're looking at around December to get the next one out.
Yeah, yeah. It's not bad.
Probably just before Christmas. And then we're going to do a live at Adepticon in March.
Yeah, that would be great to hear everybody there. That'd be fun.
Yeah. So
that's good. And if you wanted to find that podcast, if you really like, oh, that sounds interesting, how would we find that podcast?
You can get it off the Mantic blog. There's usually links there, and you can go to iTunes and search for Mantic North America.
Yeah, that's how I find it.
And it'll be there.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Yep, and I guess right now the Mantic British one, from the Mantic HQ, will be a little on hold until they get some more community people, eh?
Yeah, I might have to do one or two.
Just fill in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and then the thing with the Mantic podcast, it was more, I guess, corporation based as opposed to loose and just kind of informative as ours is.
Yeah, yours is much more conversation. Theirs was, yeah, giving some information. And
yeah, so, and that's one of the things that Ronnie liked about the new one is that it's free-flowing and it's nice and loose, and then he wants the information one to come out every month.
Yeah. And yours is it almost represents Mantic more, where it's a little more relaxed. You're not so stiff as some of the other big companies.
Yes,
that's the great thing about it.
Speaking of being a well-oiled machine, a tight ship, we might need a commercial break.
Well, we can always take a commercial break here, and we'll be back. We'll have something else to talk about, I'm sure.
We will now take a moment for an important message.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, a Dreadball podcast. Wait a sec. Where's my notes? Ah, these guys, they always forget to bring it up here. Ah, just a sec.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. That's 24 successes against your Corporation Striker. I think my Orc Marauder...
I don't know, man. I think I could still do this. I got 3 dice. I could still do it. I could still make... never mind.
What are you guys doing? I need my notes. I should be recording right now, getting this promotion
out. Hey, boss. We just wanted to get a game of Dreadball in before things got a little crazy in the office here.
Sheesh,
no worries.
Man. Here we go. Here's the script right here. Let me just write a couple more things down, make sure my spelling's good. Here you go.
Okay, let's take a look at this. The Strike Zone podcast is a podcast for the fans, by the fans, to celebrate all things Dreadball, is child-friendly and records twice a month on warmoreradio.com. And, okay, I think that's everything, guys.
Okay, just a minute. Can you let us just finish our last turn of the game? I've got a Goblin Jack who is going to try to score with 1 dice.
So you guys are on your last turn, then?
Oh, no, it's not good, because I have a 3-point lead right now, so if he gets the 4-pointer, then he actually will win, even though it's his last strike of the game, and I can't do anything about it. then the breaks.
Okay, this is all good and everything, but we got to get going here, guys. Come on. We got a show to produce. Come on.
The Strike Zone podcast is sponsored by Build a Clone. Build your clones today.
So welcome back from that wonderful break, Jack. So let's do some shout-outs, shall we?
Let's do some shout-outs.
Our first shout-out will be for Tyler Schulz on Facebook. It's because he invented the most amazing gun out of the lampposts from Dead Zone Battle Zones.
Was it the Thompson 50 cal? Because I believe that was like the Lewis, possibly the Gatling.
No, this is a 4-barreled lamppost gun.
Oh.
And it is amazing. I've replicated the 4-barreled lamppost gun.
You have replicated the 4-barreled lamppost gun. It looks like a AT-AT anti-aircraft.
88, maybe.
Yeah.
And we'd just like to thank him because he invented this, as far as we know.
And now we have a forgery, a clever forgery.
Yep. And another shout-out we have is for Heretic 30K, because Heretic 30K is our shout-out master. He might be our winner of shout-outs. And he has a new website that is his Dead Zone Terrain Index. And he keeps finding and forgetting where he's seen great terrain, inspiration, and products. So he made a quick summary of things he's found. And he gives us a shout-out on the site. So we're giving him a shout-out on the podcast. And the site is at heretic30k.wordpress.com, deadzone-terrain-index. And we'll have the link in our show notes.
So it's an aggregate site. Everything he finds that's of interest, anything that piques his curiosity, he collects it, puts links to it, and it's a big database of things that we'd be interested in.
Yes, indeed. And it is really useful.
Okay. Well, I'll take a look.
It is great. If you're trying to find terrain that works with Dead Zone, it's a great place for it. And last, we have an email from Jeremy Hicks. And he says, "Hi, Jake and company. Hope I'm pronouncing that right."
Jake.
I hope that was on purpose, because that is the funniest thing I've ever heard. It's Jack, by the way. But
or, and company. I've also been known to be called that.
And this time I'm and company. So that's
this cool. Is this just the Rob Harper show, and I'm just like a peripheral?
No, you're Jake.
I'm Jake.
Anyways, Jeremy goes on to say, "I'm a big fan of the podcast and wanted to thank you both for the hours of entertaining ramblings, which got me through painting up my strike teams."
Oh, nice.
Entertaining ramblings. That is exactly what we're aiming for in this podcast.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about us.
No. He played his first game of Dead Zone and wanted to share his favorite moment with us. And he had a plague dog rampaging through his enforcer lines. It jumped on an enforcer who was pinned by an HMG. We recently found that by pinning models, fighting them is a lot better. And enraged by the sight of his teammate being savaged by the plague dog, and with the help of a +1 fight card, Recon heroically charged the dog. Despite his mountain of dice, Recon failed to injure the dog, and it was brutally shredded alive by the dog's counterattack. These dogs lately have been just
nice.
On a tear.
I don't know what it is.
So, we'll have a battle report next time, and there was some dog action.
It's something in the food. They're getting like a
wet... Alpo.
Like a wet, dry mix or something. I don't know.
He said, "Although the enforcers end up claiming victory, the play count survived the entire game, and he has a healthy respect for these 3-point monsters, and he's looking forward to our next episode."
Well, take it from me, Jake. There are my favorite troop.
They're my favorite troop, and I hate them.
Okay.
It makes no sense. It's an oxymoron.
Try and be in a relationship with this guy.
We're not in a relationship.
Not me.
Anyways, he sent us some pictures of Recon attacking the dog.
I'm taking a gander here, and look.
Get a shot of that.
Well, is that a beer cap they're using as a marker? Because if so,
no, it's the resin markers.
Oh, because you've been my new favorite guy.
And here's the dog just eating 2 enforcers.
Well, I'm a fan.
Those dogs, they are, for 3 points, little too good.
It's the exploding eights. It's the exploding eights in the games. It was a brilliant, the design of the game allows for that, and it's fun and enjoyable.
So thank you, Jeremy, and keep on listening.
Thank you, Jeremy, and thank God. Oh, did I mispronounce that? I apologize from the cockles of my heart.
And let's go on to what we've been doing. And this week you did something.
I did something this week.
So what did you do this week, Jack?
This week I painted my experimental plague in the Enforcer armor, and I've been sick of painting the plague flesh, so I didn't paint him up to the level of the others, not in the quality, but in the color. I worked from a really dark blue up through greens and into like a really light lime green. So he's a little darker than the rest.
He looks great, though. We'll have pictures on our site, deadzonegame.podbean.com.
Yes, take a look. We'll.
And you did some object source lighting on his gun?
Yes. Underneath the gun itself, there's 2 canisters that I painted up with the glowing effect. And I made it look like the liquid slosh around the bottom. And then I did at the tip of the weapon, I made it look as much as I could like it was glowing. In fact, it does glow in the dark. I've got glow in the dark paint on.
And you had it reflect onto his legs and his arm. And you did his armor like a cobalt kind of.
Yeah, I was going to do a beat up armor where the paint was torn off. So I painted the armor silver and I was going to do a layer of paint on top of that. But I kind of liked the way it looked, so I just left it. It's a very bare bones, just metal armor.
He looks good.
Pretty, just
experimental. He was experimenting with this weapon, and
maybe the paint was.
They didn't bother painting it yet. It's just the armor they had at the old base.
Hey, this is a prototype. Yeah. Throw that on. Yo, okay. Hey, don't drink that. That's plague.
That's plague juice. That's not orange juice. That's plague juice.
Oh, plague juice. What? I left the plague juice laying around. My fault.
And for me, I did my whole Wave 2 Enforcer set, and I couldn't wait for the hard plastic stuff, so I put shields on all my Enforcers now. And I think they look pretty cool.
Yes, they do. You had quite a number of them, and we have pictures of them. And again, if you want to see them, go to we have YouTube, we have the website. You can find them, follow along with us. And we have, now they have a cleaner look. Your first original ones look pretty sketchy.
Yeah, these are like the newer armored versions. They still have all the face paint and stuff, but they don't. Their armor's not all scuffed up.
It's not all scuffed up, but it's still a dark motif. It matches what you decided your corporation was going to be like. And now they've got the shields. The shields look like they belong. Just where they line up, where the people's heads are.
Yeah, because it was the arms and the shields.
Where the weapons are.
They worked perfectly even with those ones, so it's great. And I did my special weapon, or my burst laser, or whatever he is, fusion gun or whatever it was, him. And Sergeant Howlett, he doesn't look like Iron Man and Wolverine mixed. He looks like just a badass.
Yeah, he's...
And, of course, I did the Pathfinder on the bike. I think she turned out well. Her face was not as detailed as I'd like, so I made it look like she had a what do you call that? A
balaclava.
Yeah, so she's got something covering her face, but you can see her eyes in the one. And, so I think she turned out great. And I like to do all the weapons and, like, I mean, all vehicles in that gray, silvery gray. So that's why her bike's just gray. And, yeah, so they turned out pretty good.
So we had a busy couple of weeks between podcasts.
And we'll have another ad here, and then we'll get back to Pat, and we'll wrap her up.
We'll wrap this up, and come on back.
Do you like Mantic Games? Do you want to read about your favorite games in a monthly magazine? Have we got the offer for you? Iron Watch Magazine. Iron Watch brings you the latest news, articles, and short stories taking place in the Mantic universe. Dreadball, Kings of War, Dead Zone, Warpath. You want it? They got it. Ironwatch.wordpress.com. Get it now for the low, low price of free. You can't beat that at twice the price. That's ironwatch.wordpress.com.
Download now.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast.
So, and we're back. And it was great talking with you. I think, anything else you want to talk about there, Chopper?
Well, yeah, let's see. We can talk about a couple of the upcoming schedules. One of the things, my plan for 2015 is to extend the convention schedule for Mantic to officially be at shows. So as of right now, we have still Adepticon and Gen Con. Yep. And then I've added OrcCon in L.A. in February 14th weekend, the President's Day weekend we have out here.
What was that called?
OrcCon.
A what?
Orcs. Con, see?
Orc. Oh, come on.
Oh,
they
no.
need to con after these things?
Oh, yeah.
No. Okay, let's move on. Move on. I've got to make my stomach turn.
It's good to get into L.A. for sure. That's a huge population place.
Hopefully, I'm looking to get at least the four corners. So right now we have the Midwest. We have the West now settled out, and hopefully it'll be a good con for us. Hopefully, and then my next looking for is somewhere in the Northeast, the New England area.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. And then, we're going to cover the Eastern Seaboard and maybe the Southern shortly after that.
It seems to be a lot of, Ohio has a lot of, for some reason, Mantic fans, and also Baltimore area, right? Like the Maryland.
Yes.
Seems like there's certain centers that, Mantic's really got a hold of right now.
Yeah. Well, Mike Carter and Andrew Sherman, the guy who does Mantic Radio, are very good advocates of the game out there. And they just they love, you know, and Origins is out there. So they like Mike does a real great job of putting a come and play Kings of War, puts on a great tournament. He's got like 10,000 points of armies painted up so he can have 10 people playing.
Yeah.
1,000 point demo game. He did it for us at Gen Con, and the stuff flew off the shelf. So.
Yeah, it's great.
So he does a great job for us there. And so if anyone's looking to play, learn some Kings of War and you happen to be in the Midwest area and you can make it to Origins, get to Origins and look for Mike Carter. He'll be the one wearing a green shirt that says Pathfinder on it.
Oh, is that how you you make sure that everyone knows who they're looking for?
There's an official Pathfinder shirt. It's the Enforcer face off the deck.
Oh, nice.
With Pathfinder across the top of it. And it's a nice little, just a neutral green. And I want to call it a forest green.
Yeah, just a nice color green.
Yeah.
It's worth being a Pathfinder. Just get the shirt. Jack's always wanted one of those blue Mantic shirts. He's been...
It's a snazzy... you look pretty dapper in
the polo ones.
Oh, the polo ones?
That's just me, though. That's how I roll.
He's a snappy dresser.
I am. I'm pretty dapper.
Well, but we got those polo ones, and I made us some blue t-shirt ones with the plague symbol on the back, and it's a stage one for the 1A for the enforcers or for the employees.
Nice. Oh, that's cool.
Cool.
And speaking of Adepticon, you had us demo one of the tourney missions.
For the upcoming Dead Zone tournament we got going on at Adepticon.
Yeah, it was really fun. We had one of our friends who'd never played the game before. Like, he barely knew anything about it. He played miniature games back with us in Warhammer back 20 years ago.
We basically said that we got to play test this for Pat. He wants our input, and what better way to do that than to grab an unwitting victim off the street, and we foisted upon him, and he... And we played. We ran it through, and he enjoyed the game when he left.
He was like raving about it. And we gave him the option of which faction to play, but we just told him the name. So we were like, okay, there's Enforcers, there's Plague, there's Marauders, and there's Rebs. And we said, well, Jack's going to play the Rebs because he was excited to play the Sword Brethren, the Sorak there, because he just painted him up. And so we gave him the option of the other ones, and he was like, Plague, I guess. And then later on, he found out the Marauders were orcs, and he flipped his mind. He's like, you knew I love orcs.
He does. He's
a smart man.
Oh, no.
It's another one. They're everywhere. That's all I can say. They're like Leafs fans.
So yeah, well, that's what we did that. And I don't know if it's still a work in progress, what you're doing for that, what you're going to do. We gave you some input earlier.
But it worked great, I think. It was a lot of fun just having a scenario, and it went quick. Like, he'd never played a game before, and he took out to it like water, and it worked great. So I think you got a winner there.
That's good to hear. So what I think I'll do then is I'll email you mission 2.
Yeah, that'd be great. We would keep trying them out because it was like I didn't get to play. I just kind of supervised. But the game, from just watching the game, it was really exciting. At one point, it looked like Jack was going to wipe him out. He had his Rebs, and he was just going in there, and we're like, okay, this is going to be over. And then all of a sudden, the plague just came on. And
the first round, I had a plan, and I was executing that to the best of my abilities. By the beginning of the second round, the plague told me my plan was not going to work and proceeded to stomp.
Well, he actually used the Sorak, the regular Sorak, to knock down a stage one. And then the Sword Brethren jumped on him. And stage one had one die. And I don't know how many die you had.
Five.
Yeah, and he missed completely. And he didn't do any damage to him. And after that, stage one just trounced everyone.
There was Yindige corpses from as far as the eye could see. The game lasted three rounds because that stage one.
He rampaged through everything. Yeah. He kept getting free moves after fights.
You can't stop that when that happens.
Oh, we'd never seen it before. Plus, our friend, he's back when we played Warhammer, we played Axes and Allies. He is a rolling demon. He rolls like a maniac. So dogs killed the Sword Brethren,
a plague dog, killed a Teraton.
A Teraton and the Craw, Jacket of Craw.
There were exploding eights like you would not believe.
Yeah, that's not surprising. I had that happen to me, and I lost four Enforcers.
It's like...
to one plague dog.
Those plague dogs, they're tough, but you get some good rolls, and they just eat.
Yeah, this kid just could not stop rolling eights.
Yeah, so this deck, what our friend was like.
Yeah, it was almost eight rolls of eight in a row.
Yeah, you got six rolls of eights in a row, I think it was.
Eventually, I grabbed him by the scruff of the neck. I said, get to a casino.
Yeah.
What are you wasting your time here for? Get to a casino.
And he said he only uses his powers for good. which yeah. I guess is the Trounce Jack. So
yeah, that's excellent. But
he's definitely going to come back to play more. That's all we know. We converted one at least.
Short of it is he's going to be he's interested. So yeah. We'll see.
So that's how easy it is to get people to play Dead Zone and get them into it. That's the amazing thing.
Well, yeah, and then when you tell them how much a starter set is,
it's like nothing.
It's jaw dropping.
Yep.
And he picked up the basics of the rules.
He was telling us the rules.
Yeah, because as soon as he figured it out, he's like, oh, the penny dropped. It's a base of three. Okay, I got this. Well, then you get this for this. It was very...
Yeah, he shamed us pretty much.
Oh, he shamed me.
it was
with my own miniatures.
Own miniatures too, yeah.
That's disgraceful.
That's good. Well, then you'll have now you'll have a Marauder player in your midst.
Yeah, at least we can beat him on Marauders now.
Maybe.
Without either of us having to taint ourselves with it.
Possibly.
But yeah, it was good times.
Well, I'm glad that worked out. So yeah, definitely we'll get the mission 2 to you guys, and you guys can mess around with that.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to actually play one.
And we'll probably we might even use it as a battle report.
Or maybe we'll play mission 2 and put them both together. Mission 1 and 2 as a battle report.
As long as it doesn't predate Adepticon, we don't want to ruin
any. Do you mind if the stuff gets out, or you want us to keep it secret?
Yeah, let's keep it the missions down.
Yeah, okay. We just won't mention the missions. That's okay.
Yeah.
We can talk about what happened though, because really. The plague trouncing, the mission didn't matter. It just destroyed them.
No, that was just a distant dream. That was something that maybe might have happened in a world unlike the ass kicking that I received.
And to clarify with the listeners, there was how I'm looking to do the Dead Zone tournaments is that each table will have one mission for both sides. We'll play the same mission.
Yeah.
And then each side will have a faction-specific mission that they will only know.
Yeah, keep it secret so that they just like the regular cards.
So you could lose the main table but still get the faction-specific mission. And then completing missions, the core missions, and the faction-specific mission will get you more points in the end. And so whoever gets more points at the end of the game is the winner of that round.
Yeah, it seems fun. And it went quick, so it should be – like I think you have a 90-minute maximum on it, but I think you should be fine within that maximum.
Yes, definitely.
Because even teaching a new player, it maybe went an hour. It was great. So yeah, we'll look forward to play another one there, and we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And so if anybody wants to get a hold of you, what email should they Twitter or?
No, they can. The easiest way to get a hold of me is through communitypat@manticgames.com.
Yeah, we'll get lots of people bothering you with questions about your ship from Gen Con or.
Oh yeah, that thing was a beast.
It was pretty amazing.
It was.
We just got a bunch of stuff from the Mars Attacks Kickstarter. We got a bunch of buildings to make. We're trying to think to what to make with it, but that thing was inspirational.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks of building, that's for sure. And then at one point, I lost track of where I was going, and I had to break out some graph paper.
Yeah, figure it out. Yeah, it was nice.
We got some new things coming out for Dead Zone as far as buildings too. There will be a nice giant octagonal. Is that the word? Octagonal?
Yes.
Octagonal base. Kind of like the landing pad, but not the landing pad.
Oh, as a like a box set? Like a battle zone?
It'll be a new sprue.
Oh, just a sprue? Wow. That's...
It'll be a big giant octagonal base so you can make an octagonal building or you can make yourself a...
Yeah, because that's something we were thinking about, making like walls for like a prison or something like that.
Yeah, or you can make an MMA ring out of it if you want.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Battle zone?
It's probably be this will be coming next year sometime.
Yeah. Well, it's that battle zone line. It's you can just expand constantly. There's more and more stuff you can put that for sure.
And between us and the listeners, there is talk of maybe some Forge Father battle zone tiles.
Oh, like even totally different aesthetic. That'd be fun.
Yeah. And then we're going to get the pipes out, the piping and all that stuff for to make it look nicer.
Yeah, it's cool.
Oh,
that's much. Yeah, like every faction, like get some nice orc ones and military ones and
the Forge Fathers. Why? I wonder why the Forge Fathers specific. What is it that they bring to that inspires the making of new tiles?
Craftsmanship.
Oh,
and the fact that Ronnie loves dwarves.
Yeah,
I think that's what it mostly is.
I kind of dig the Forge Fathers myself. That's why I asked.
Yeah. Yeah, those Forge Brothers, I'm not big on the dwarves, but they are looking cool. And their vehicles are cool, and their mechs are cool.
So it sounds like you're big on the Forge Fathers.
I wouldn't play them, but I do like the aesthetics.
Yeah, I do like the looks of the Forge Fathers.
Yeah.
And given your druthers, community, Pat, if you were playing Dead Zone, what team is it that you would bring to the table? What is it that you enjoy painting, playing? What is it?
First and foremost, it would be the Marauders.
Of course, we knew that.
This interview is over.
But yeah, it's Marauders. Everything we hear about them, they do play great. And I did play them once, and they were fun to play. It's the orcs.
Wow.
They're just fun. They're good-looking models. They're just, you know.
They are. It probably is our friend back when he played Warhammer. He played orcs. And I think we've discovered today that all our hate for the orcs goes back to him rolling incredibly.
Maybe that might be it. Maybe he soured you.
So it's like inbred into us. We're instinctually against orcs.
Is this like a
therapy session?
All of a sudden, where Community Pat's going to talk us down from our orc hate, and we finally break free, and
we can accept them.
All you gotta do is just play them. The dice aren't their fault.
That's right. Yeah, it's not the orc's fault. It's our friend's fault.
Okay. Well, we'll all hug it out, and maybe we might turn the corner on the orcs.
I doubt it.
Okay.
And so it's been fun talking to you, Pat. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we head out?
No, I think we had a great time. Hope to come back on again.
Oh, we'll definitely have you on again. Once we got the technical issues ironed out, it's all good.
Definitely, yeah. And we're going to try and make sure that we keep our communications, that we've got a good relationship going. We're going to keep that up. And
Now we have a name. We have the Chop Shop to fill up. We've got to get some information in there every once in a while.
Yes. That's true. And so it's good, and this has gone well, and I think we'll try and do this whenever we have some big information or something, and hell, I kind of like just hanging out.
Yep, it's good talking to you.
Yeah, I have a great time just kind of hanging out, talking about the game, you know?
Yep, and yeah, we're getting more and more into the Mantic everything else, too, so we have Kings of War armies needing to be painted, and...
Yeah, I'm really kind of digging into the Kings of War myself, honestly.
Well, we love the idea of, especially in Kings of War, for the Jack was just talking about today, it's almost like a diorama for you can make for your troops. You don't have to have exact numbers.
Oh, no, yeah. The best thing about Kings of War is you just need the footprint. If you have a regiment, you know, 4x5, whatever that comes out to be, as long as that's that size, you can put as many or less models in there as you can. So you can stretch a kit out as far as you can make it.
And as we're much more on the artistic side too, where we love to make things look real interesting with basing and things like that. So it'll be fun to do some that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be able to. Who knows? We've got lots of topics we'd like to talk to you about in the future, and we're hoping to have you back. Not regular basis, because we're
barely regular basis.
Yeah, we do what we can, but.
Yeah, it was great talking to you, though, Pat. So
yeah, no, I had a pleasure. You know, and if I have time, I'm always willing to come on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great talking to you, and we'll talk again.
We'd like to thank Pat once again for being on the show. Tune in next time for more of our ramblings. And on behalf of Jack, I'm Rob. See you next time.
Here is your host, Rob, to tell you how to contact us. Here. At the Dead Zone Podcast.
Thank you, Winter Rainer. You can listen to us on our website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. You can email us at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at deadzonepodcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Join us next time for some more of the Dead Zone Podcast.
Vinland Old Time Radio.
Ah, it is to last.
Bastrow!
Hoi there, dirigible.
It's a gavel. A hota gavel.
Have you read The King in Yellow?
Africa's a continent?
It's with great protest.
Ooh, now that's a fine program.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.